Welcome to the Life Church STL podcast. Wherever you're joining us from, we hope this message encourages and inspires you. Thanks for listening and enjoy today's message.
This morning, the title of my message is, Where Do We Go From Here? Where do we go from here? And it's interesting because Tori and I were talking about this, and just a couple weeks ago, I saw that Oprah was doing like a series called Where Do We Go From Here? She got that from me, by the way. No, but it's just interesting because it's a thought I think that a lot of people are asking, a question that is coming up is like, where do we go from here? And so I'm not going to talk, you know, really about what's going on in our nation. I'm going to talk about what's going on in our hearts. And I want to read some scriptures that will give us hopefully a picture of what Jesus is trying. Of course, in these scriptures, it's what he is trying to get into the hearts and to really dig down deep with those that were around him. And for me this morning, I hope that's the same thing that happens in all of us. And because there are lots of things. Look, wherever, you know, you live, whatever time you live in, there's always lots of things going on, you know, and Tori and I've had discussions this past little bit about like all these things seeming very like intense and all this stuff. And I was thinking, you know, like there's been so many things going on for so many years. I mean, really since Christ was, I mean, before that too, but like there's always an attack. There's always a push from the enemy. There's always the sin, right, that is gnawing at us, that is trying to get us to let go of who God is or to stop following Jesus. And I'm not, like, diminishing what is happening right now because there's, of course, so many things happening right now. But what I want to say is what these things should bring us to is to Jesus, to be closer with him. And in these scriptures, I hope that's what we come to, all of us together. And in John 6:67, he says, do you want to go away as well? So I'm going to read a lot of these scriptures in this chapter, but Jesus asks, do you want to go away as well? He's talking to the 12 at this point. Do you want to go? And he's asking them, what are you going to do from here? Where are we going to go? Where are you going to go from here? Because there's a lot of people that aren't staying around. What are you going to do now? And I think that God, of course, through all of time, has graciously kept us and comforted his people. He's comforted those that come to him and that ask him for forgiveness and say, God, I'm in you. I want you and only you. And he has sustained us, his people. But in these scriptures, this is just an interesting point. This is right after he fed the 5,000. And there's crowds all around him. There's people all over the place. And I want to talk about the different types of people or groups, I guess you could say, like that were with him, around him at that time, because there was different little groups. And we'll talk about those. But in John 6:66, it says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no longer. From that time. And at the end, we're going to get to why they didn't follow him any longer. But so many people walked away in this moment. But I want to look at a couple of different groups. And in John 6:22, we have group one. And we're kind of whittle our way down to the 12. And it says in verse 22, the next day the crowd that had stayed on the far shore saw that the disciples had taken the only boat and they realized Jesus had not gone with them. So first we have the crowd. you have this people that had been following and even coming just to see what was going on, but you have the crowd. The crowd are those that are just coming to see, like, hey, this guy Jesus, there's miracles that are being performed, that he's doing miracles, and so many things are happening, and maybe it's just like, and then my friend, he was following, you know, like anybody. It's like, because my friend went to church and now I'm gonna go to church. But see, we have to understand that we need to not just stay part of the crowd. We can't just be part of the crowd. We have to go deeper and deeper. And so this crowd was around. They're interested in what's going on. They want to see a miracle. They want to eat some of the miracle fish. Right? Because Jesus had just fed the 5,000, and he had taken, what, like a boy's lunch and turned it into a meal that would feed thousands upon thousands of people. He prayed over it. God blessed it, and it was miraculously increased. And not only to feed them, but have leftovers. Okay, so I'm just giving you a picture. This is what happens right before this moment that we're in right now, here where we're reading these scriptures. And this amazing miracle, there's thousands upon thousands of people there, right? And there's 5,000 men. But so many more with women and children, thousands of people. And Jesus fed them. And the crowd is there. They're like, woo! You know, you could imagine. It's like going to a concert or something. Everyone's like, woo! Yeah! Look at that! Another fish! Another loaf! Woo! You know, like, are we just there spectating and cheering? And like, woo! You know? Something good's happening. And then I'm going to jump to verse 41, and it says in John 6, 41, the Jews then complained about him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. So we have another group. These are the Jews, which probably many, many of them were Jews because of the area that he was in. But this is a group, the Jews. Actually, I forgot one of my points. It was really good, so... The crowd. We don't want to be part of the crowd. Because see, something I was thinking whenever I was studying, reading this, is seeing or even experiencing a miracle doesn't make us a Christian or doesn't give us the faith to follow him. Being a part, eating the miracle fish doesn't make us a true follower. Okay, now I'll go to my next point. Then the Jews complained about him because he said, I am the bread. So you have this large group of Jewish people there. You know, these are God's people. These are the ones that have followed the laws that God gave to Moses and their family. Generation upon generation are those religious people, the ones that have followed God, followed his commandments. But then my next good point is that heritage doesn't make us a Christian. It doesn't give us. Now, it could help to build our faith, but it doesn't give us our faith. You know, your grandparents, your parents may have been amazing Christians and taught you the Bible and spoke to you all the great things that God did in their life, but that doesn't make you who you are as a Christian. That doesn't give you your faith. And then in verse 66, it says, for in that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no longer. So you come, see, you see how we're doing this here? You've got a crowd, the whole crowd. You've got probably a substantial group, which is the Jewish people that were there. But now it says, now his disciples. So you have the third group, which is the disciples. Now you think, whenever you say disciples, you think of the 12, but there were so many more disciples. So many more that had followed him. Now, these are people that didn't, they weren't just like the ones going to the concert or the ones just, woohoo, yeah, hey, we're here. I see a miracle. Wow, fireworks, you know, all this stuff. They weren't those people. These were disciples. Those were, I mean, I don't know how many, but a large group of people that had actually followed him and walked with him every step for a long period of time and been with him and said, yes, Jesus, we follow you. We're with you. We're here. We got your back. But being a disciple when it's convenient or not offensive doesn't make you a Christian. Being a disciple, you know, it's like we say, oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. I mean, you can ask pretty much anybody. Oh, yeah, I believe in God. Oh, yeah, I'm a Christian, yeah. You have a group here that's a smaller group in this crowd that had followed him and been with him for so long. But that didn't keep them just being with him for a while. You get this? I know. I'm gonna give it. It might be a little offensive, but this is kind of the whole point of the message. Being a disciple when it's convenient doesn't make us a Christian. Doesn't make us faithful. In John 6:41, it says, then the Jews complained about him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. Now listen to this. He didn't just do that. And of course, you know, getting down more to my point is that they didn't understand what he was saying. How many times do we not understand what God is doing? Probably most of the time. They didn't understand exactly what he was saying, which made it offensive. It made this moment offensive for them. He says, I'm the bread of life. And he goes on to even say, they're like, hey, where do we get this bread? Hey, what miracle are you going to perform so that we can know that you're the Son of God? We know that you're the Messiah. And he says, listen, I'm the bread of life. And everybody that wants to be with me in heaven, everyone that comes to God must eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. And they're like, what? Like, whoa. Because they don't, of course, they don't understand what he's meaning. They don't see. They don't know that he's going to the cross, that his blood will be shed, that his flesh will be torn, that all these things are going to happen, and he's going to take those 12, and he's going to say, hey, drink of this cup in remembrance of me. Hey, eat of this bread in remembrance of me. They don't understand that. But this is kind of what Jesus does, is he comes and he prods. And he brings this point where, are we going to follow him just when it's good or just when the miracles are happening, just when things are going, you know, woo, and fun? Are we going to follow straight through that offensive moment? Are we going to follow straight through that moment when it's difficult, when there's something placed before us that could be a stumbling block? That could be something that trips us up in our faith. Are we going to push through? The Jews disputed amongst themselves. They're like, how can he give us his flesh to eat? And the 12 even said, this is a hard saying. This is something hard to understand. So you have all these groups, those that were just the crowd, that were just coming to see, you know, the cool things happening. the Jewish people that were there, the heritage, the ones that had followed God and his laws. Then you had those disciples that had followed him a long time, but even the 12 were like, I want to understand, but this is a hard thing to understand. See, Jesus, the gospel message is offensive. The gospel is offensive. See, sometimes we get like all excited even sometimes when we're like, yeah, there's like my Christianity offended somebody. But I want to ask you, is it you or the gospel that offended somebody? Because sometimes it's not the gospel, but it's us that offends people. We shouldn't have anything to do with the offense. The gospel does that on its own. To those that don't know, see, this is this crowd, these people here, and even the 12 were having trouble understanding that there was this moment there was something was placed before them. The gospel was placed before them as an offense. In verse 67, it says, then Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go away? The 12, we're here now at the moment. This is the smallest group with Jesus. The 12, the handpicked ones that Jesus said, hey, come with me. Walk with me, be with me every step of the way. And like I said just a second ago, these are the ones that were thinking, this is hard to understand, and I'm not really sure. This is my paraphrase. I'm not really sure what this means, and I'm not really sure if I can wrap my head around it. And Jesus is understanding this, and of course, he always knows. He says, do you want to go away also? Do you guys want to just step away? Because everybody else, the crowd, the Jewish people that were in there, and even the disciples, the ones, this larger group of disciples that had followed him for a long time probably, they walked away at the offense of the gospel. And in verse 68 it says, but Simon Peter, and I don't think they have this one, but Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. So now we get to the point that Jesus was trying to make. In this crowd, so many had followed him. They had said, hey, we're going to be there. We want to see the miracles. We want to be there when you do this great stuff. We're following you. But when it came down to the point of following him and not the miracle, not being around just because something good was happening or this miracle that Jesus did was happening. They were there for the fish, not for the one that created the fish. And he asked them, does this offend you? He used this word, offend, because he was asking, hey, I'm the bread of life. I'm the one. If you come to me, if you eat my flesh and drink my blood, of course, they didn't understand. And that's what's like, you know, you're like, man, Jesus, you could have explained it a little bit. But he doesn't want to explain it to us. He wants it to be revealed to us and for our faith to pull on that answer and for us to come to him and say, I need you. I need your help. I need you to explain it to me. Clearly, I'm going to stay with you no matter what. I'm going to be here. And that's what happens when it gets to the 12s. And Peter says, Lord, where else will we go? Where? And then this is, I believe, what Jesus is wanting us to hear today. Are we here because something good's happening? Are we here because there's a miracle? Are we here for any other reason than the fact that Jesus is here and the fact that he's not somewhere else? And whenever we come to a moment, he said offense, this word, this Greek word is actually, if I say it correctly, scandalizo. Huh? It means to put a stumbling block or impediment in the way upon which another may trip and fall. Jesus put a stumbling block in front of them. Not because he wanted to hurt them, but because he wanted them to jump over and say, that is not going to affect me. I am here because you're here. Where else would we go? I love that. Whenever something happens, I want to have that attitude or that in my mind that it's like, God, there's so much going on. But where else would I go? Where else would I go but to you? There's nobody else out there that can sustain me, that gives me life, that makes me who I am. Only you. Scandalizo. The offense of the gospel. In this moment, these people are asking, hey, Jesus, I mean, how do you, this is where he's just like, I feel like sometimes, in the nicest way possible, Jesus just gets frustrated and says, why are you here? Why are you here? Because back in verse 26, Jesus answered them and said, most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw signs, but because you ate of the loaves and we're filled. See, we're constantly, I believe, and this is what Jesus was saying. He's like, listen, there's signs. They were asking him for signs, and he's like, you're not seeing the signs because you're just asking for your belly to get filled. You want to come in here and come around and just say, oh, God, yes, fill my belly. Just give me the new car. Just make sure I have food on the table. You know, just do this for me or that for me. And I think that's what Jesus is saying. He's like, look, you're just coming here asking me for all the things and not for me, not for who I am. You just want the things that I can give you. Just wanting your belly to be filled. You're just asking for all these things. And I, you know, there's a great book by Reinhard Bonnke about the Holy Spirit. And it's something that stuck with me forever. And he's talking about the Holy Spirit, and he's saying, you know, sometimes we get things out of balance or out of place. And he says, the Holy Spirit came after Jesus and because of Jesus. And when we seek Jesus, then the Holy Spirit can come to us and be our helper and our comforter and everything that we need. But if we get that out of balance and we're just seeking the Holy Spirit and not Jesus, the one that gives the Holy Spirit, then we get things out of balance and messed up. And I'm seeing that in this thing where I believe that in a way, whenever we're just asking God for stuff, we're seeking the gift, not the giver. It's kind of that same topic. Are we seeking the gift that he can give us? Or are we seeking the one that gives? The Jews demanded signs. And he says, I throw my signs up. You know, I believe it's like Jesus is standing there like, look, here's a sign. Here's your sign. Like, well, that comedian, here's your sign. Here's a sign. But they just don't want to see it. They just can't see it. And in this story, where do we go from here? And Jesus asked, do you want to go away also? And in this moment, I ask, do you want to go away also? Do you want to run out and try to fix things yourself or run away from God because things are getting tough or maybe there's a stumbling block that's been placed in front of you? I'm not saying God or Jesus is trying to hurt us or trying to offend us to make us mad. What he's trying to do is he's saying, are you going to come to me? Are you going to grab hold of who I am? Are you going to say like Peter here and say, where in the world else would I possibly go? Because there is no one else besides you. There's no one else that I could possibly find. No one else. He says, listen, we've come to understand that you're the Son of the living God. You're Christ. You're the Messiah. You're everything that we have been waiting for. Where else would we possibly go? And in this moment that we're in whatever moment, I say it's interesting because I don't know about you, but I feel like, ooh, this moment. There's always a moment. You know, Tori and I sometimes, you know, we're just gets busy and all this stuff. And I'm like, oh, it's just so stressful. And she's like, it's always stressful. What are you talking about? I'm like, you're right. You know, there's always, we act like just this moment is the moment that all the things are happening. Things are going to happen tomorrow. Things are going to happen a year from now. Things happen 200 years before right now. Things happen. It's not just about this moment, but this is the moment that we're living in. So what are we going to do with this moment? Are we going to grab hold of Christ? Are we going to say, where else would I go? I believe that's what Jesus is asking us. He's just like, hey, there's lots of stuff going on in the world. There always is. There's lots of stuff that maybe has to be healed or different things in your family. There may be all these, maybe financially there's some struggles going on. Probably there's a lot of stuff, right? But where else would we go? Where else would we go? Amen? Would you stand with me?
Thanks for listening today. We pray this message encourages you. If you have any questions or you'd like to learn more about us as a church, you can always visit us online by going to lifechurchstl.com.